You're listening to Titans of the Trades. I'm your host, Ryan England, author of Hire Better People Faster and creator of the CoreFit Hiring System, a proven process to help growing companies attract and retain only the best. I'm on a mission to revolutionize the perception of the trades and elevate it to new heights. After growing up in a blue-collar family, my passion for making the trades cool again runs deep. If you're a titan in the industry and want to be on my show, stick around until the end and I'll reveal how you can be my next guest. Welcome back to another episode. I am your host, Ryan England. Today's guest is running an organization that helps contractors take their business to the next level. Now, what that means, it's up to every different contractor. They all have a different definition of the next level. For some, it's growth. For some, it's being able to remove themselves or distance themselves from the day-to-day. And the program that they've implemented over there is helping entrepreneurs all over the country to do this through not only their intensive coaching and training program, but also being able to just give small tips and tricks like we're about to do today. I want to welcome to today's show the CEO of CEO Warrior, Scott Bohannon. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
So I'd love to start out with this idea that there are a lot of things we believe in business that just simply aren't true. And in the work that you do and what CEO Warrior is doing, I know that you guys talk a lot about mindset, but there is really practical application, tactical things, things that you get into the weeds on with your customers, your clients. And I want to get into that. But before we do, what's that myth that so many people tell, like we tell ourselves as entrepreneurs, that just is not true? You want to shatter it for our listeners right now.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I think the big one is there's a silver bullet out there that if I can just find it, it's going to make everything better. That, you know, I'll be 10 times my current size in a couple of years. And in fact, building a great business, it takes decades, right? Wow. It's not measured in days, months, even years. And so it's about finding all those different nuts and bolts you mentioned to really build a resilient and great organization.
It's about doing the right things correctly over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I like to tell people there's no magic bullet. And they go, what's that? I go, that's the magic pill and the silver bullet combined. Because we all think that there's one out there.
It'd be nice to think if I just followed that one playbook, you know, just follow it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everything's going to be great. And it's like, well, even if that was true a year ago, it's not true today. It wasn't true a year ago.
We get the same thing. If I just had that service manager, if I just had that ops manager, if I just had that tech that could just do it all. And it helps, but it's not the silver bullet. So tell me, what is it that would help people with their marketing, their growth, their goals? What are some of the things that you see in the marketplace that you work with your clients on to help them?
Yeah, so Ryan, I'd say the first thing is, where are they spending their time? Right, that's our most precious asset. You know, we tend to focus on cash because we got to pay the bills, no doubt. But really, the big asset we've got is time. And so making sure we're spending our time the right way, that's where the big wins are.
I get what you're saying. I know a lot of people that spend their time on the wrong things. So if my goal is to double the business or just to make it so that I'm not sweating payroll or I'm not worried about just wrapping up this big project, where's that next big project going to come from? What are some things people can do to really help them?
Yeah, so I'd say the first thing is you've got to decide where you're going to suck, right? Okay. And this is hard, right? Because, you know, our whole mindset is like, oh, we got to be great at everything. We got to do everything really well. And people who have this sense of just excellence at everything, right? We hold that up as like, that's great character. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is we can't be great at most things, at least not now, right? And so we've got to decide that I'm going to suck at these things over here so that I can really focus on these one, maybe three things at the outside and do those really well. I come back to those other things somewhere down the road. So I'd say that's the first big thing is committing to suck. Where am I going to suck? And I won't like it, but it's going to be okay.
What are some examples of that you see where people just have made the decision, I'm going to suck there?
And people don't like to share where they suck, right?
Okay.
That's always a painful thing to do. We like to brag about what we're doing well for obvious reasons. And I say, oh my gosh, I just face planted over here, right? But for example, an easy one to decide that you're going to suck at is certain kinds of marketing activity you're not going to do. Right. So, you know what? I can go do a huge revamp of the website because I don't like the way it looks today. And I am also going to redo all of my yard signs and just on and on. Right. But stopping and saying, wait a second, where do I have real leverage today in what I'm doing in marketing and focusing on those small number of things to do them really well to measure their success. Right. You can make sure that we're learning from what we're doing with those few things in marketing and deciding how we make them better as we go forward. So, it's really like don't do marketing and just suck at marketing. But it is about saying, okay, most kinds of marketing, there's 50 some odd things that a contractor can worry about in marketing. Pick 2, 3, do them well. When you're ready, then you can pick 4, then you can pick 5. But we find people flailing at all kinds of marketing activity, right? As opposed to saying, I'm going to do one well and measure it.
Yeah. We have they're not a client anymore, but they were when they went through your program. And I remember the owner, he was always, whatever the new thing was, he'd get all these cold calls and they're like, I have this new software. I have this new tracking. I have this. And he'd always chase it. And I remember him actually, and I don't know if you were the catalyst for that, but it wasn't long after that where he says, you know what? The one thing that I'm really good at is building relationships with other commercial contractors. He's like, I'm just going to double down. I'm going to put all my efforts there. Okay. It's going to focus on being the sub for other commercial work. And he all of a sudden stopped chasing all these other things. And not only did business grow, but it got so much easier because it was something he was really good at.
Yeah, no, it is. There's a for folks who like to watch soccer, some people tell the story about Messi's left foot, right? So probably the greatest soccer player ever. When he was a kid, he was a prodigy, went to Spain to get coached. They noticed it wasn't so great with his right foot. So they focused on his right foot. We're going to make his right foot great, right? Well, he burned out. He quit playing, actually. Where he came back later, a new coach was like, man, his left foot's great. Let's just make that spectacular. It turns out that as humans, we're much better at getting even better at what we're great at than we are getting great at what we aren't great at.
Yeah.
And then we get messy, right? And a lot of the time, there are chapters in our business where we do have to build a new capability. That often means bringing in people who are good at it rather than doing it ourselves, right? But the first win is, what am I great at today? How do I build on that in these areas and then learn and expand over time?
That's so great. We do a lot of pre-hire assessments and Clifton Strengths is one of them. And they talk about that same thing. Like take your top 5 and just get really good at those. And when those are easy for you, then you can go work on the next 5. But Strengths 30 through 34, it's probably okay if you never touch those again.
Absolutely.
I totally get that. We have such an emphasis, especially in this country, on overcoming our weaknesses and getting better at the things we're not good at. But what you're saying is just get rid of the things we're not good at and double down on the things we're good at and become really good at them till things get easy and things get better. Is that right?
Yeah, there are things that we can't suck at. Like, you can't go around breaking the law, right, when you're doing your job, right? So, there is a level of confidence. It's kind of the ante to play.
Yeah.
But after that, focusing on where are we great, doing that really well. And as our enterprise grows, as our business gets bigger, we can bring in the people who aren't good at what we're good at, right? Rather than us trying to be great at them, then we find those people who are good with their right foot. And use them to do that instead.
That's one of the biggest challenges I see, especially with growing entrepreneurs, is they like to hire people like them.
Yeah. So it's a great way to put it, right? I like knocking trends off track, right? I like disrupting things.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I learned in my career was I need to surround myself with people who keep trends on tracks. Right, who keep things on schedule, right? What I didn't appreciate was that then they hire people who also keep trains on tracks. And you wake up one day and you realize you're the only person who kind of goes and does things differently. And so I had to learn the hard way that I had to make sure there was always another person or two in there who liked disrupting things too, or it became too dependent on me. But you're right. We like to hire people. You like keep your trains on tracks. You like to hire people and keep trains on tracks.
Yeah. And the reverse is true. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen growing entrepreneurs saying, I'm ready for that person to run ops or service or my install department. And all of a sudden they hire someone just like them and it's a disaster because that's not what they needed to grow those groups, grow those departments. What's some other things you see? So we talked a little bit about marketing. We talked about getting really good at the two or three things that you do in marketing and just become an expert at them, stand out in the marketplace. People will take notice. What's something else you see that people need to not be good at or need to focus on so that they can achieve their goals?
Well, you know, so I'd say that the biggest thing people need to spend more time on is learning. And I don't mean taking classes, right? That's not the way I mean it, but learning from our business. I was working with a CEO of one of the biggest companies in Europe years ago, and he was a total rock star, 10 years, spectacular growth. I mean, everybody loved it, right? And I was in an interview with him, and the interviewer said, you know, John, not his real name, you seem really down. Like, why? You've been doing great. And he said, well, you know what? The problem with success is you learn nothing, right? Because all the success for him just keeps reinforcing what we already know. Well, I've got it right. It's going well, et cetera. But that's why we find most people just go off a cliff, right? In fact, a lot of businesses will accelerate before they drop off the cliff. And we're seeing that in the market right now, right? We're seeing a whole lot of slowdown in the space. Relative to 5 years ago, it's still really good, but relative to the pandemic and right after the pandemic, we've seen a pullback, right? Yeah. And people have kind of gone off a cliff. They've got too many trucks, they've got too many people, and suddenly they're losing money for the first time, right? And part of the challenge in most cases was they didn't have a way to make sure they were learning from the market so that they could be adapting. So that's the big thing I would say right now is how are you learning about your business all the time? What are you doing to make sure that that's happening? And if you can do that well, it's probably going to be more valuable to you than anything else you're doing in your business today.
I love that. You know, you brought up the pandemic and I agree. I've seen the same thing on my end. The home service contractors that made it through 21, 22, they just had to have a pulse and show up. And they got the business because there was so much demand. And then 23 hit and it was a reality check for a lot of them because they're like, wait a minute, apparently I'm not that good as my books would have me believe from the last 2 years, which was really just if you were available, you got the business. And that's changed now. And we are corrected. Like you said, it feels more like 2019 now in that space. And so I love that learning from the things that don't go well. And being ready for that. I mean, there's even an element of some forecasting and some planning in there, which I'm seeing a pattern now. You talk about planning. So it's great.
Yeah, no, it's I agree, Ryan. It, you know, if I were running one of these businesses myself, I don't know it would have gone so great in the pandemic. there's a lot of know-how in there that I don't personally have. My specialty has been around business, not the trades. Yeah. And so I am impressed with what these guys do. In fact, it's almost like impossible, I think, to get small to medium growth. Constantly impressed with what they pull off. But I do think for folks, particularly who are new in the contracting space during the pandemic, did understand all the things that you usually have to do really well in order to be successful because they did have a tailwind. Right, all that wind at their back, and that's turned into a bit of a headwind now. And so it's actually kind of back to normal, but we got out over our skis in the process. And so there is a lot of learning about, okay, I have to compete for this business. And that's happening at the same time that we've got these big players coming into space through all this consolidation that's been happening. Yep. These guys have got big marketing departments, right? They've got analytic capabilities and giant customer bases that they can learn from. And if you're a small guy, you're out there trying to flail against these big guys, sometimes not even realizing, right, that that's what's happening. So the economy for our industry has slowed down some, but also the competition has gotten stronger and gotten a lot more money behind it than it used to have.
Yeah. So you mentioned analytics, you mentioned some of this reporting capability, you mentioned learning from the things that aren't working and all of that. What is one piece of advice you have for our listeners that saying, hey, you know what, that's Scott, that sounds great. And, you know, if I had a magic wand, I would just do all of that stuff. But what's a good first step for our listeners, or maybe a second or third, if they've already done some of this, that just says, hey, this is how you get to the next level, doing something that's practical, something tactical, not just talking more about planning and strategy.
Yeah. So I'd say the first thing is anything you're going to invest your time or money in, right? You should decide in advance what you expect to have. Right? You're going to put up a Facebook post. How many likes, shares, whatever do you think you're going to get? If you're going to distribute door hangers in a given neighborhood over the next week, how many callbacks do you expect to have happen? Right. So I'd say don't just do something that seems like a good idea. That right up front, this is what I expect to have happen. Now, the one thing that's probably not going to happen is what you expected. Right? It's going to be better or worse, right? It's not going to be that thing. But that's the point. Then we learn, right? So if I don't see as many likes on Facebook, if I don't get as many callbacks off my door hangers, why not, right? Mm-hmm. Why didn't I get that result? If it was better, that's great. But you still want to learn. Like, how do I build on that lesson and maybe something else? Make that Facebook post resonate better than it did before or whatever. But I'd say that's the biggest thing. It's just by saying, this is what I expect to happen. And then looking at the results, tracking those results from it and saying, how did this come out differently than I expected? What do I learn from it? If you take the time to do that, that's what sets up continuous improvement, right? That's what lets you keep getting better and better, whatever that activity is. But usually we race ahead and just say, oh, it didn't work. You know, I'm disappointed. I'll try something else. Or we're like, I nailed it, right? But we don't take the time to say, okay, but what really worked about that? What do I need to do more of as we move forward? That place, and by the way, and the biggest companies in the world don't usually do this well. Mm-hmm. Yet this one simple practice will make almost anything you're doing pay bigger dividends over time. I'll mention we had a marketing campaign we ran recently. Disaster. Like, just did not go well. But we did learn a ton from it, right? We walked out of it. We said, okay, we actually understand something about the market now that we didn't before. That's going to let us do better moving forward. And frankly, also let us understand our customers better. Yeah. If on the other hand, we just said, well, that's a crap idea, Joe, why'd you do that? Right? We would have missed the moment. We would have missed the real value in that situation.
I love that. You know, some of the greatest lessons that we've learned, that I've learned in my business as well, is that go to market with a marketing, you know, program or a campaign or something, and it just bombs all over the place. And you could look at it as it say, hey, I just lost 10 grand on that campaign. Or you can say, hey, I just spent 10 grand on a very valuable lesson. And then that,
absolutely,
that ability to assess and ask the deeper question, why, and then being able to answer that question, I think is a skill that not a lot of people have right now. It's a big part of our program is that ability to assess when you go to market and you're looking for good people, how is it that it's not working? Like, why is it not working? Being able to ask that question and learn from it and then do something different, not do more of the same, right? Which is
awesome. Yeah, and probably apologies.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, so you mentioned like that person, right? It's a great example of hire, right? You hire somebody, they don't work out. And what do we say? You say, well, they weren't a good fit, right? That's my favorite, like good fit. It's like, well, okay, well, how did we hire somebody who wasn't a good fit? Or, well, maybe the problem was us, right? Maybe, you know, maybe we're looking for a unicorn rather than a horse. Like, you know, we got to change up us so that more people can fit in to this system. And we want people that don't necessarily always fit well. They bring different perspectives, ideas to the organization. But we don't tend to learn from when our hires don't work out, right? We don't stop and say, okay, what do we learn about us? What do we learn about the kind of people that we need to bring in? And most importantly, how do we make sure that when we bring somebody in, that we're reflecting that in that decision-making criteria? Instead, we just kind of say, oh, well, that's not a good fit.
I've had a lot of people that have told me, I'm tired. I just want someone to tell me no once in a while. I'm tired of hiring yes men. I just want someone to tell me no because they think there's a better way, or they just want to ask the difficult questions. And then I ask them, I'm like, well, what do you do for the interview process? And she's like, and basically their answer is, I look for someone that tells me yes to everything I want to hear. That might be part of the problem. And so, it's being able to align your personal activities to get the results that you want. Like, if you're doing something that's getting you the results that you don't want, it's time to do something different. I love that. So tell me a little bit about CEO Warrior, what you guys are doing over there. I know you had said that there's a big initiative to just really make an impact in the marketplace with some new messaging and some other stuff. Tell me a little bit about CEO Warrior and what you guys are doing.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, our focus in some ways is the same it's always been. We've got this incredible group of master advisors who were actually members usually of ours before, but had lived in our client shoes. And, you know, they're there to kind of really, I'll say, hold people's hands through the challenges, whether they're small or big, that they're facing. And that's not change. The big things that we're focused on right now are a lot of practical tools, whether that's using new kinds of technology or whatever, to help people in their day-to-day jobs. So we want the master advisors there to help them with the more strategic challenges or really unique questions. But we also need to make it easier for them to do everything from Facebook posts to measuring their marketing results to linking, let's say, weather with their financial results and so on. So a lot of emphasis on technology that leads to practical day-to-day work and value, but continuing with that just magnificent team of master advisors who are there to coach people every day. So we hear everything from one of our technicians just dying in a client's home. How do we do about this right now? This is a new one. Out to, I need to take my marketing up to a completely different level in terms of measurement and where we're investing.
It's very holistic too. You're not just the one trick pony. You just do leads. You just do that. I mean, it's very holistic, very much organically looking at the business and the leadership too, correct?
Yeah, no, thank you, Ryan, for pointing that. That is true. And in fact, so we work with lots of other organizations, whether it's someone like you or, you know, a niche marketing group or whatever, to go deep into those areas because, as you said, we're more an umbrella than we are going super deep on any one particular challenge.
I love that. And there's definitely a need for someone who's niched like you have in this contracting space. I love that. So Scott, if someone wants to learn more about CEO Warrior, wants to learn more, maybe even about you, they're like, hey, this guy's got some good stuff. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, the easiest way is to go to our website, CEOWarrior.com. My daughters tease me about being the CEO of CEO Warrior on a regular basis. But CEOWarrior.com will work. Or if you write Scott at CEOWarrior.com, they'll actually get our CFO, whose name is Scott, also. But he'll forward it on to me, and it's easy to remember.
That's awesome. Hey, Scott, thank you so much for your industry insight and some of the things that, I mean, got me thinking about where some of these contractors and entrepreneurs in general, like the thing I love about what you said is there's nothing in there that says, oh, if you're an electrical contractor, this works. Just being an entrepreneur in general, even if you've only got 5 techs or you've got 200 on the road, like I think those principles still apply. So thank you so much for your insight, your wisdom today. I know that our listeners are going to get a ton from it.
Dale, thanks, Ryan, so much. I really appreciate it.
Ryan England here. Thank you so much for listening to Titans of the Trades. If you're a titan in the construction, manufacturing, or skilled trades industry and would like to be a guest on my show, please visit podcast.corematters.com. If you found value in this interview, would you share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot on your phone and share it with a friend or post it on social. And if you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Titans of the Trades. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, click the subscribe button. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and get me one step closer to solving the labor crisis facing the industry. Want to know more about how we're doing that? Go to our website or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening.